Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Men, find relief from BPH with a new Aquablation therapy from Baptist Memorial Hospital, North Mississippi. Embrace life again with the only real-time water jet treatment for men with BPH. Call 662-234-1448 and get better with Baptist.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, friends and neighbors. Welcome in. Yes, indeed. This is the Garden Mama Show, and I'm so happy to say thank you for listening. Last week was Thank You Day, so we talked about it in many different languages. I'm going to stick to English today because, well, frankly, that's my best suit. And whatever you're doing in the garden, I want to hear about it. The subject of this program is horticulture, gardening, green thumbs. You call it what you like. Just call me and text me, of course. You know those numbers. And if you don't, you can always find them at supertalk.fm, where you can also find many more hours of me than you might want to spend in the download section. Good morning, Lance.
Hola, mamacita.
There are, we have guests today.
Yes, we do. A house full. I got my babies with me, so if you hear a bunch of...
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be Hawk, and he's checking out the mic. And I got Dottie too.
They're much better behaved than my cats.
Well, they'll get into nap mode here shortly, I hope. But yeah, they're definitely curious,
beautiful. They're sweethearts. I would take them across country with me. They're real sweet.
Dottie is the smiley toothedest thing mm-hmm. you'll ever see.
Absolutely, but
she can turn.
Well, if she needs to defend you, maybe.
Those teeth turn into bitey teeth if she needs them too.
If she needs to defend you, maybe.
Yeah, she's a good girl. I mean, she's a good hunting dog. You know, when she knows what she's supposed to do.
Well, and they both got on plenty of fur, which is a good thing, because guess what, y'all?
Yeah.
It's going to be cold.
Hey, we're going to have a fun one, it looks like.
I have to say this. If you, and y'all know who you are, or maybe you don't, that's the problem. If you can't spell Arctic on your Chiron, I'm probably not going to pay attention to your weather forecast. Okay? So let's get that straight.
Got to be able to get the word
come
right.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Oh, my goodness. I can't help it. English majors, you know, we get so distressed. We stay up at night worrying about these things. But the truth of the matter is, the full moon was absolutely magnificent this week, and I'm happy to tell you that my neighbor, Scott Crawford, has a lovely, 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 lovely observatory at his house, and his pictures are always brilliant. So I threw one in today, and I hope he won't mind.
That does not look like the naked eye in a fish eye of a camera picture. That looks professional to me, because I've tried it so many times.
He is exceedingly way better than me.
I need to go check out his setup. That's really cool. I'm going to leave it up there for a minute for everybody that's waking up.
Yeah, supertalk.tv. It's a beautiful week. The moon has been lovely every morning, and Scott captured it.
Does he have like a telescope with a camera on it?
All that. Yeah. And a bag of chips.
Yeah, and a bag of chips. Is it Zabs?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're the Louisiana girl.
It would have to be for me, I guess, huh? Now, let's not start talking about food right away. Oh, yeah, it's Peking Duck Day. Uh-oh.
Find a place in Vicksburg today or
look
something.
Look now, this, if you know from Peking Duck, you know that this is a delicacy. And believe you me, if there's anybody out there appreciates it more than I do, and I'm not a big duck eater, but Peking duck, I didn't even know what it was when I ate it, and it was wonderful. So
I'm a duck hunter.
I know
they got on me this past week because I didn't shoot any last week, but they're just, you know, I'm not one of those where you go out there and I stayed at 2 in the afternoon to get one. You know, I'm just like, nah, I'll just sit here and watch them. But hopefully in the morning it'll be a little different. And I need one of you wonderful Super Talk listeners to get me a Peking duck recipe for
I need y'all to get that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So please help me out. I love eating duck, but I've not had a native shot duck that I've harvested that I've turned into a Peking
calendar
duck. Yeah, please, somebody help me out.
How wonderful. Y'all let him know, of course.
And I will share with Garden Mama.
Yes, we'll tell y'all all about it.
Yeah, I'll even... I mean, let her even cook it.
No. You don't want to do that. You do not want to do that. That's one of the funniest things in the world. Somebody asked me, what are you going to cook because the weather's cold? Because I always say chili. And this time I said vegetable soup. I think that's because I just made some delightful chicken broth. So that's how that got done. But
I've had so many different
Peking duck is a good idea.
That sounds like, I mean, it's 'tis the season.
Yes, indeed it is. Now, I don't know about y'all, but... Well, there's a whole lot of people that are concerned about this weather. I get wonderful, after a month of no rain in any given area in the state, or actually the South at this point, I start getting emails. When the temperature forecast is as it is now, I have the opportunity to take a real look at how people are feeling and what they're thinking about stuff. So I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff that we do need to know about cold damage. Sometimes I like to play the garden game, dead, not dead. Now, it doesn't have to be freezing cold. It can also be burning hot. But at this time of the year, we are so tempted as gardeners to just go out and start chopping on stuff to see if it's alive after a cold spell. Control yourself. Put your patience hat on and don't do that. Figs, okay, yeah, sure. Fruit trees, yeah, sure. Those are going to get pruned in January. I have no problem with that. But when you look around the yard, though, your first instinct really might be to cut off anything brown. And that's really not a good idea. First of all, if you cut it off and it isn't dead, then you will stimulate some prolific new growth the next time it warms up even a little bit. That, in turn, can be frozen again by a problematic situation later on. That would be another freezing week. So you don't want to do that. But think before you panic. Most of the trees and shrubs that we're growing, even the perennial plants, will rebound without permanent damage. Here's what you're going to look at, though, when it comes time to do that. With evergreens, you will see some leaf browning. You'll see some leaf drop. And there will even be blackened portions on the stems, different from anything like crepe myrtle bark scale or anything, you know, in the you know how a Cuba will sometimes just get a blackening on those gold dust plant will get blackening on those stems sometimes. But that it's not that. It's a different kind of dark. Really, the tissue is just obviously dying. Deciduous trees, though, it's primarily dieback. You'll see sometimes, for example, that there's a part of your shrub that will bloom suddenly and irregularly through the year, and then it just stops. Well, that's the point where you look at the base of the plant, and the shrub may show you that there's a crack at the bottom, which is the result of that cold snap that we had. One of the things that is always interesting to me is, what do we do? Take your time. Don't rush to prune. And if you want to do the bark test, the scratch test, by all means, take your thumbnail or a fine knife and slice just a little bit of the bark off of some of those twiggy stems, maybe spireas, maybe even your roses. Take a look at those. If it's still green underneath, don't worry about it. It's going to be back. It's just a cold spell or a cold snap, if you prefer. I was interested to see that it's more likely to snow in Hattiesburg than it is at my house, which means it's going to be really cold in central Mississippi.
They keep saying that, but if you look, you know, I'll keep looking at it just because of the...
You don't believe it.
Well, no, it's not that I don't believe it, but they allow me to pretend to be a great weatherman, and I've learned
a
lot doing
it. You do a wonderful job.
And I've tried to learn a little bit about it, but it seems that there's this general consensus that, like, Macomb and Hattiesburg and all them are going to get snow, but we may not hear.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing that it looks like it's going to have a little higher latitude as far as where that potential
snowy mix.
It's so
hard to know. Yeah. It really does have to do with the temperature and the the extension of the freezing time.
Well, and they were, I watched that. I don't know if it was El Nino or La Nina, whichever one, the El Nino or La Nina pattern, but they had a really good graphic. I think it was Weather Channel I saw yesterday, where it was showing how that Arctic blast is pushing down into the south, much more deep into the south than we've seen. And that's why I say Hattiesburg and Macomb, they know that's going to hammer it. But it looked to me like, as long as the precipitation was around, that we'll have the conditions here as well. Northern Mississippi looked almost like it's going to skate through it, though.
Yeah.
But it could, you
too
know, Pickens and getting up Yazoo City, that area,
just
it looked like you're in that window where it possibly could be. So, yeah, be careful.
Just
Tuesday
is we will expect
big day.
All of y'all's reports.
Well, you may get a little more rain today, and then it you know, it'll kind of cool back off, and then we'll have that little push here for the first few days. And it looks like the big day is Tuesday.
The ice on my back stoop is a real precarious thing. I'll be staying in the house. Thank
you very
much.
We're going to have to put you some sandpaper down on that or something.
It's a mess.
And that's a rough spot. And really, that's the trick, you know, falls. I want to mention that. I have a father that's at that age, and a lot of people, you know, I had friends that were in their 30s and 40s that had fallen and really hurt themselves on the snow. It's not snow. It looks like snow, but it's just not snow.
And so the thing that just looks like a little bit of a slope down actually turns into a precipitous thing.
Yeah,
when you
feel like on the side
of
a mountain.
Exactly.
You're going that way.
We're just not used to all this stuff.
So my advice is just if you're curious, you take like a stick or a staff type thing when you're walking outside, you know, when this happens, and hit that stuff and make sure it has some softness to it, or it's hard as a rock.
Yeah, see what
you
it is.
You do not want to end up on your back or butt.
No, we don't need that.
No. So don't let the one snap we get really put you down.
And please let it only be the one snap.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get two.
Mike says, well, I'm not going to make that bold of a prediction.
I'm going that way.
But Mike says, should I rake the pine needles off the naked lady lilies? No. I would leave all of that right there where it
right
is.
Now.
The idea being that that's another reason why, if it wasn't going to rain where you are, you want to go ahead and be sure everything gets watered, not your sidewalks and driveways, but the plants. You don't want them going into really, really cold weather without proper hydration. It's important. It makes a big difference in how they get through it. Chris in Forest County has a good idea. He says foie gras.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, we are not opposed. You know,
I was reading the Peking duck recipe. I'm like, I don't know if I'm skilled enough to pull that off.
It's tricky. It's a thing. I was fortunate enough to, you know, live where there's Chinatown. We have plenty of community here that do that, but it's not as publicly facing necessarily as on the West Coast, and so therefore I'm way familiar with how hard it is and how long it takes. But I'm willing to be there when it all happens.
I'll tell you what, it definitely looks difficult.
Yes. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, separating the skin and getting the fat and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, hold on now.
You know, it's interesting. When we talk about taking care of things, when we talk about taking care of people and plants and pets and all that with the weather coming on, I found myself, not just because I was in a bad mood anyway, but I was yelling at one of the cats yesterday, because he wouldn't come in the house and it was starting to rain. And I thought, if the cat doesn't care, why should I care? Well, I should, but I shouldn't be doing that. People rely on threats too much when actually, you know, the carrot and the stick business, the carrot actually gets more results. But I was intrigued to read this study from the University of Michigan. I have a couple of people that I really enjoy reading that teach there. And one of these national polls that they were reporting tells us that 1 in 4, that would be 25% of parents, have threatened preschool age children with no birthday present or no Christmas gift or no Santa to get them to behave. More than half have used bribes. I wonder if it's any of the same people.
Likely, yeah.
One thing today, another thing tomorrow. Those mixed messages are a real problem in raising children. Interesting, though. I would not have thought, I don't know, maybe that's just me. I would not have considered threatening no gifts. I always had the subtractive approach. That is to say, if you did something that was really bad, I got very quiet and took away things. It wasn't that anything happened to you. It was that suddenly you no longer had a phone, and or you no longer had, you know, whatever it was. So anyway, now tell me this. We've been hearing about mechanical pollination and tiny little drone insects and all that for years and years and years. MIT, though, is who we look to for this kind of stuff. And sure enough, we've now got this literally tiny robot that can fly 100 times longer. That's how much they have improved their boosting ability. If this could actually, because the problem's always been that you would spend as much time with the pollinating, you know, creatures, pollinating robots, as you would in the farm itself, because it took so much to deal with them. But if we can get them to actually have much longer period of time when they can swarm out from their hive, quote unquote, and then cut back and get recharged, we would certainly have something that would be powerful. And I think about my friend in university that is the person responsible for the tomato shaker, the tool that when you do greenhouse tomatoes, you go in and you have to pollinate. So it's basically just moves the leaves, you know, because tomatoes are self-pollinating. That's why we tell you to shake the tomato steak or the tomato cage in order to improve that process. But I think he would probably have been real happy to have a little box in the corner. You open it up and out come the drones, go all around the greenhouse, pollinate the tomatoes, go back in, charge up, and do something else later. I mean, that's a brilliant piece of technology. And I really do think that we're on our way to it. They're no match for bees at this point, of course, but because we have a need for fast and agile in most robotic applications, this one certainly gives us a lot of reverberation. I think it's a great idea. Wonderful stuff. Are you prepping your soil? Have you got some stuff that you're doing in your garden? I hope so. If you have not, today'd be a fine day to go ahead and start. But realize that if you can wait about a month before you plant, you'll be in the best condition. So, for example, if you're prepping soil for potatoes, you probably should get out there today because you're going to want to plant them in a month. Or if you're making a new rose bed, you probably want to get that done because you're going to need to be able to get to it pretty soon. Oh, this is a good one, Rhett. You're going to inspire somebody with this. My dad would take my bedroom door off the hinges when I misbehaved. And, of course, at an age that when spankings were not appropriate, and I'll tell you the truth, I was never spanked. I was certainly...
Oh, I was. Woo.
Well, I'm sure you were. But I was not the best kid in the world.
Well,
it was not because I was not disciplined, but I was disciplined in many other ways with...
Yeah, I wasn't a bad kid.
The reduction of privileges and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Look at you, going for an opposite season. Aren't you funny? Good morning, y'all.
Well, it's like 80 out
there. This is the Garden Mom. Well, for a moment, we've got just a little bit of, yes, we'll be right back.
That's all night. Despite the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world, go out and find a girl. Come on, if that's all night, just like the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
All of us at the Mississippi Propane Gas Association are committed to providing you with the best possible services and affordable values. We operate in a way that assures a safe, reliable, and economical fuel source. Our trained personnel constantly monitor the conditions of our gas systems to assure reliability and safety. Any repairs or modifications to a propane gas system must be performed by the qualified technicians of your propane provider as required by state and federal regulations.
Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
The new year.
Well, I got a little garden in my backyard, a little hoeing, a little mowing, but the work ain't hard. It's the cutest little place that you ever did see. I've been working in the garden till I turned green.
Well, indeed. Does your parsley have a hat? Anything else? How your onions doing? What's going on? You getting ready for the cold snap? Yep, I have parsley, celery, fairly young thyme plants, and a couple kinds of oregano that I picked up this fall, and they're all in big containers outside. They have little hats. Well, they have big hats because they're big plants, but they have containers that are dropped over the top of them. I don't worry about it if it's not going to be below 30 at my house because my microclimate is fairly contained there and then it doesn't get as cold as it might somewhere else. But with the weather predicted as it is, I will be covering them back up. And it's really funny. There are not nearly enough recipes for all the herbs that I could cut, but I don't want to cut them. I don't want to dig them up and bring them inside or anything. I am bringing inside the aloe vera, which has been outside for this whole time. It's a big one with lots of thorns, but I don't know that it can take 3 days or whatever it's going to be of temperatures that at least feel like they're below freezing, even if they're not quite below freezing. Ray's asking about subscribing to the newsletter, and I appreciate that very, very much.
It is recommended.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. He and Sandy are wonderful. But anyway, best way to do that is to let me send you an email. So send me one, mamaonair@yahoo.com. And also, if you want to know what I'm doing, you can either mail a check or you can send money in PayPal or Zelle or those things, bunch of those things. But just send me an email and I'll tell you. Glad to say we've gotten some new subscribers this year, and that's always fun. And most everybody is joined up again. Some people just simply do not like the new format, and I think that's probably because they listen to the radio show and they don't really want to see me. And there's a video clip in each of the newsletters now. But we like them, and so we're going to keep doing them.
It's a little jazzed up, baby.
It's a little jazzed up. By the time we get to spring, I'll be sitting under a panoply of plants in here. But that'll have to be on another day, not today. Yes, Mike, I will send those to you again. Okay. Fun stuff. I've got so many issues on the table, so many things to talk about. I have to say, I'm so happy that I pruned my lemon tree when I brought it indoors because it has now got new growth on it and the beginnings of little tiny flowers on a couple of the branches, which means that in a few weeks it's going to smell delightful. If you have never been in a room with a citrus plant in bloom, I suggest that you need to do that. Maybe there's a Valentine's Day gift that you can get. Maybe there's somebody that, you know, you can bring you the flowers, if not the plant. It's one of those things. It's the clean scent. We often talk, you know, there's all kind of music and whatnot that's written because of the smells of these plants. And I suggest you do it. I think it'd be good for you. Today's also Winnie the Pooh Day. Who's your favorite character, Lance, in the Winnie the Pooh world?
I like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Winnie, you know, because...
You would definitely be the Tigger, of course.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to like Winnie the Pooh, though, because he's the one that got stuck in the tree. You know, eating.
Yes.
You got to love that. The guy he doesn't know when to stop.
I'm Eeyore because I just am so proud that you noticed. Yeah. I appreciate you. It's so fun.
Great question, but though. I always like Tigger.
I love that they call him a fictional anthropomorphic teddy bear. Not that any teddy bear isn't anthropomorphic, but anything, you can make your lamp anthropomorphic if you attach human qualities to it, okay? That's what anthropomorphism means, folks. Now, I don't think of Winnie the Pooh as a human at all. I think of Winnie the Pooh as a strangely animated bear.
I do know. The Berenstain Bears. I mean, which
yeah,
were not
Paddington.
Nearly,
come
you know,
on,
Paddington, I mean, and all of them. I mean, you know, there's many anthropomorphic
there
bears
many,
out there.
I guess they are anthropomorphic. If they sing and dance, they probably are anthropomorphic. Anyway, born in 1921, when A.A. Milne wrote first about him. But there are
Roaring Twenties.
They have now taken those stories, because obviously A.A. Milne's estate owns all of it now. And there are people who write in the style of, and some of them are very sweet stories. They're lovely. Very old-timey, as they say.
I like old-timey.
I think we all got stuck on that around the time of Oh Brother. It had to be old-timey.
I've always liked the old-timey, though. You know, like Naugahyde. You don't see that anymore.
You don't ever hunt naugas anymore either. People hardly ever go out hunting those naugas. I have a question for y'all. What in the world could be like turning on the dishwasher before you go to bed and waking up to clean dishes? Well, it's brainwashing, only it's the good kind. And it's why if you do not sleep well, or if you sleep, as they say, unconventionally, that is to say you sleep all afternoon and stay up all night, you need to check on your balance points. It's sometimes true that if you are not necessarily melatonin, but that's one of the ones that is suggested, but other things that are supposed to assist you in sleeping actually disrupt this process where your brain is washing itself. And what we're trying to do when we sleep is to prepare for the next day by letting our brain wash through whatever went on that particular day. That's not just thoughts and ideas and feelings and anger or any of that, or even love. It's actually proteins. And the process removes those toxic proteins that can form sticky plaque. We know, well, no, we don't want any sticky plaque. These are neurologic disorder issues that can develop from that. So nobody's really been sure until now, when the Danish scientists found, I just love the names of molecules. They're so great. This one's noripinephrine. Okay, I can take it apart. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, but that's what they named it. And it triggers blood vessels to contract, which generally slows the pulsation and makes a rhythmic flow, which is the thing that washes your brain and makes you ready and renewed for the next day. So if you're not sleeping well, perhaps you should put on some Garden Mama in the night and let me talk you to sleep.
I wonder what megahertz your voice, you know, is tuned at. Like, is it?
We could find out, yeah, but I don't know.
We need to find out. It may be like the brown noise or the green noise.
It could be. It could be any of those. I prefer to think of it as lavender, but
lavender,
you know,
noise. Yeah.
But when I very first started doing radio, someone called and told our dear friend Mary Whedon, who had given me a guest spot on one of her shows at the time, 100 years ago, that he just thought I was great because he worked all night, and he came home on Saturday morning and turned me on and went right to sleep because my voice was so soothing. So I try to put a little more edge in it.
That is a compliment.
It's a compliment in many ways,
yeah,
I realize.
Especially if, you know, you're coming home, you've got a long day.
Exactly.
I need to wash my brain.
Exactly. I've got to go
I'm turning
sleep.
On Garden Mama.
I don't know that we do this anymore, but there used to be records that people played in the night because they thought they would learn a foreign language or they would pick up some pieces of information.
My dad went to law school, and you know, when he was studying for the bar, he went and locked himself in my grandfather's cabin out at the reservoir. And back then, you would record everything. Like, mm-hmm. he was a master dictaphone user, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. he would dictate all of his notes. And then he would go to sleep with the Walkman
and
the headset, just mm-hmm. listening to it. And mm-hmm. he swore that helped him, because he said, when I walked out of taking the bar, it was like 3 days back then, mm-hmm. he walked out and he didn't know where his car was. And so he just sat down on the curb for a few minutes and was like, all right.
Get back into the current day and time.
What's going on here? But he said that he really attributed the ability to retain a lot of that while he was working full time. Mm-hmm. So it was
That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, so I was like, man, that makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. so I've always kind of thought that way, that subliminal, you know, sounds and music really do have a great impact on us, especially while we sleep.
See, you know, I can help you sleep. As it turns out, my voice will be rather soothing sometimes. Let's see now.
As long as you're not hollering at a cat, as you say, right?
Well, when I get in a bad mood, I like everyone, am capable of rising to the occasion, but usually I get quieter. This is wonderful. This is really very cool. This is so fun, giving new compost bin. This is being built out of a broken conveyor belt. Took it apart, and it was once used for hauling blueberries, you know, through the field. And indeed, now this was a piece of it. I love this. I think that's going to be a great compost bin because it's going to get air through it, and at the same time, it's going to be contained. I like it. I think it looks great. What fun. Oh, and I don't think that Rhett's worms are going to have any problem getting through this weather. He says it is a raised mound, but bed of worms. But do you know, this is a question that comes up every year, and I don't know if I've answered it here in quite some time. If you want to start worms, what do you do? What worms do you go get? And red wigglers are generally speaking the ones that are preferred, just so you know. I can't say they're the only ones, but apparently they're the hardest working of the worms that we have available to us in the Deep South. And they will really, really go. Mike wants to help you with the frequency.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? 300 megahertz.
Well, it's terrible. Anyway. Now, you are going to see potato ads. If you're social media feeds or in your mailboxes like mine, everybody wants you to order their potatoes. I'm going to tell you right now, go local. Go to the co-op, go to the garden center, go to your friends that save potatoes because they grew some last spring. Local potatoes are always going to grow more easily and more readily. That being said, the reason we have recommended varieties is because there are potatoes, just like everything else, that have been tested to grow in your particular zone, even your particular kinds of soil in some cases, although I do prefer to grow potatoes above ground in a prepared soil that's mostly leaves and some dirt. But it's an interesting plant to grow and one that you really need to go local on, absolutely. Today at supertalk.tv, you will see, among other things, a picture of one of my garden beds as it was prepared for snow at another point and indeed got snow on it. I'm happy to tell you that everything there survived. But if you look at the photo, you'll see that there's several different kinds of structures, and that's the reason why I'm sharing it today. You can use plastic covers over the entire raised bed. You can use fencing, you know, that you put sideways on it and put things on top or underneath that. And you can also, of course, simply just pile on the mulch. It all works. And having a protected area not right up to the bed, because we always understand we don't want to give – we want to make a little space around raised beds so that we can have a barrier, a baffle sort of thing for the insects and whatnot. I don't want them jumping from the shrubs onto my vegetables. But if you can leave that space just a little bit open, the shrub row or tree row can actually help with that insulation. So I think that's really important to remember. Oh, I'm thinking about these lycoris bulbs. Mike was talking about should he cover his back up, and that's probably the pink spider lilies. Those are usually the ones that are considered to be the naked ladies. But that whole group that comes up on stems and blooms before they put their leaves up are generally thought of as naked bulbs. I really do have no problem at all with moving those at this point in the year because they do have some leaves. You can see where they are. And it's also a good time for them to get reestablished before they have to go dormant in order to bloom next fall. So if you can get that done in the next few weeks, it will be wise for you. I don't know if you have tried this before, but in growing cut flowers, I have found that there's some pretty Dutch iris that do beautifully in containers and make a really excellent, brilliant cut flower in a very short length of time. If you plant a 6-inch pot with 10 bulbs in it this week, another one next week, and another one the week after that, you will have iris literally for weeks and later on in the spring, either for yourself or to give away to somebody else or to perhaps share with your church. It's a really beautiful plant and one that it's not unlike other irises. It's just very predictable, and that's one thing that we really like in cut flowers is something that can be predictable. Each of the bulbs needs about 4 cubic inches. So a 4-inch deep box that's 12 inches by 20 will raise at least 15, maybe 16 bulbs. It's a really pretty thing. Give yourself the opportunity to plant them, fill the box halfway, and then put in your bulbs and then fill it on top of that so that you don't damage the bulbs by trying to push them into the soil. Water them a little bit, but not too much. They're one of those things that you can keep in your garage, or if you have a greenhouse, that would be lovely down on the floor in there. But if you don't, you can certainly start them in a cold spell like this. You can start them indoors and just move them outside pretty quickly. It's really nice, really, really nice plant. Let's see, when should we plant seed potatoes? If it's too soon, how do I store them? You just store them in a brown paper sack, either in, you don't want them to freeze, so don't leave them outside if it's going to freeze where you live. But you also don't need to refrigerate them or prepare them in any particular way. Put them underneath, maybe put them underneath your kitchen sink or something in a bag, just somewhere that they won't get overly heated, because you don't want them to sprout, and you also don't want them necessarily to freeze. We don't want them at all to freeze. You'll be planting those in February, sometime between the first part and the middle, depending on where you live. All right. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You've been hiding out, you know that's true. Pretty mama, sure need you. Pretty mama, where you been so
long. Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you, the Farm Families of Mississippi.
You know that nowadays more people are cutting the cord, ditching traditional cable and satellite television, and instead just streaming everything. With SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's over-the-top advertising, you can get your business seen on streaming TV. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted team can show you how your ad dollars can go further to reach a more targeted audience. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Accomplishing.
Oh, Mike, I'm jealous. Mike in Lamar County's got a burn pile where he has burned oak trees and limbs for years. Now, here's the best part. It is full of black dirt and ash. Can I put it in my garden and flower bed? I've put it around my fruit trees. If your fruit trees have been happy with it, it obviously is composted enough to use, yes. I will tell you, however, that we only put an inch at a time if it's a potassium, if it's an ash product. Don't put more than an inch at a time on top of an existing garden bed, okay? And don't put it around your blueberries. Yes, sir, I do not have any vision of what you are telling me.
Oh, no, I've just got I had a playtime going in here. They were excited you were back on air.
Well, I can hear, but I couldn't quite see. I was hoping they were going to stand up and say something. Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
They were like, oh, Garden Mama's back.
How
Yay!
Does he do that? I've never had a pet that was that well-behaved. I did know a German Shepherd that could stand up and hit the thing to cross the street, though, to trigger the street light.
He's getting that way. I mean, if it's in a tree,
he's ready.
He can stretch out and get up into it, and yeah. So
well, he's almost as tall as you.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's so hilarious. Yeah. He's a giraffe.
I like this. I like that we're trying to get Mike Hepp's pictures to him, but I'm not as technically savvy as I would like to be, but I'm working on it. By the way, how do you decide when to plant those seed potatoes? Well, actually, what you're looking at, like with so many plants, is what do we do at the end of time? In other words, when do we want to be able to dig them up? My goal has always been Mother's Day, which is, frankly, not always possible, but if you are planting in February, you have enough time to grow them for that. And if I'm in favor of planting potatoes at the same time that you're pruning roses, which is generally thought of as mid-February.
At what time do you get to make a potato soup out of a potato harvest? Like, how long does it take from start to finish?
Well, it depends on the potato, actually. But if I grow red Lesotas, which are the red, what we consider new potatoes, I can pick them by Mother's Day.
And my next question, is there a better hearty soup than a potato soup, like a loaded one? You know, you get some bacon in there, some cheese, some onions, and then
potato. For me.
What do you like? Because I love a potato soup.
Tortilla soup.
Oh, I love tortilla soup, yeah.
Yeah. If I could only have one.
The red, the baby or the new potatoes by Mother's Day, if you get them in the ground.
In February. Early
February.
Middle February.
Okay.
In zone 8. Now,
I need to do that then. I've always loved the new reds. Those are so delicious.
They're delicious. Yeah. They're easy to grow. And frankly, the coolest way to grow potatoes in heavy soils like we live with in my particular part of the world is to do this in something that is not in the ground. And if you think of the shape of the basket inside a big washing machine, you know, it has all the holes in it, and it's about 3 feet tall, maybe 2 feet.
Washing
and a half.
Tub. Any inside of that, of the washing machine.
If you have that, you don't need the agitator. You don't need the box. But if you have that, that's the shape you're looking for. So I like to do it with, you can do it with chicken wire. You can do it with 4x wire if you've got enough of it. You can also do it with hardware cloth. What you're doing is just standing up a circle. And then you put in, because you need it to be maybe 3-4 feet tall. Then you're going to put into the circle maybe 4 inches of ground up leaves and some soil that you've got from the back part of one of your flower beds or that kind of stuff, compost, those kind of things, because that's where you want to start them. And you start the potatoes there, and as they grow, you add to them, because what you're trying to do is get their stem to be covered in growing material, but they got to grow first. You can't cover them up or they can't grow through it. So they grow and sprout, and you fill in around them. They grow a little more, you fill in around them, and all along that part where you filled is where the potatoes are.
The best part
about this is when you get to harvest time, you just undo the wire and roll them out on the ground. It's great.
When you're
so
filling, are you filling with a mix?
That same mix.
Same mix.
Mm-hmm,
okay, so you're not going heavier than that.
Nope.
You want to give them some air.
You want them to have air, and you want them to have water, and you want them to have sunshine.
So if you're doing it in, say, that washing machine tub with the little holes in it, are they going to grab into those holes, or is that mainly for venting?
For venting the pot itself.
Got you.
You're going to still plant them more toward the center of the container, but you what you're trying not to do is have the potatoes rot while you're planting them.
And what would cause that?
Wet soil for a longer period of time. Think about, April in the deep south, it can rain every day for a period of time. Or the rain can be so hard that it sits there and then they just rot. We do grow potatoes in the ground. Farmers certainly do that. But for the home gardener or the small farm gardener, the elevated method really is very successful. You get a very high yield of potatoes. And yes, I have grown blue carib, which is a really good one. Somebody just asked me if I had grown that one.
Spacing as you're getting them going, what kind of spacing do you want?
Well, they usually just kind of tear each other apart. You're going to put, if you had something the size of that washing machine tub, you would be putting 6 potatoes in it. And if only 4 can make it, only 4 will make it. But you'll get plenty of potatoes from that. Now, people will grow them in regular containers and lay them down and cover them up. That's too much trouble for me. That's like growing leeks. You ever grown leeks? Okay, leeks are onions with long white parts.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I love
them, but
well, you
I've
might
never
not
grown
know. Somebody's
yeah.
might be listening to me and they go, oh, that's what I saw in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. That's right. But in order for that to stay white, just like when you get white asparagus, it has to grow without photosynthesis, it has to grow without sunlight.
That's why there's no green.
That's why there's no green.
Gotcha.
So you take those little leek seedlings and plant them into a trench. And again, as they grow, you fill it in so that you get a nice long white leek.
Well, and we had a Greg, the one that took an old conveyor belt part was used for blueberries. He had a follow-up question again on the potatoes. Mm-hmm. How far apart do you want to plant them?
If I'm planting them the way he's probably going to do in a raised row, yeah, I'm going to put 18 inches between them.
Okay, so you need
gonna
some
plant,
room then.
Yeah, but I'm going to plant two potatoes or three in that space
and then
move over a little bit and to make a nice bushy thing, because you still have to fill in around them to get what you're looking for, unless you have really, really deep soil.
And is there, as you were saying, you want them to be covered because the actual potato is growing underground.
Yeah.
So you need to keep that potato covered through the process. If you start seeing the potato, you want to recover that or put a little...
Yeah, you've made a mistake if you can see the potato.
Gotcha. Okay.
you're a few days behind yourself, that's the case.
And is that the same way with, say...
And yes, you do fertilize them.
Is it the same way with, like, carrots and stuff as well? Do you
know?
No,
carrots, you just have to have soil that they can poke into.
Okay.
Because they're carrots, beets, parsnips, those kind of things are all going to grow down as far as they can grow. Yeah.
And the potato's
got to grow on the side of its stem.
Okay.
So it's different.
Excellent information. Yeah.
And pretty soon we'll be talking about sweet potato slips. Yeah. We have some. It's a little too early for that.
It's about baseball season.
Getting right around that. Yes.
At that time.
We have some people we're going to introduce you to in that regard too. So just an interesting world. Speaking of that, we are going to introduce you next week to the folks from the Gulf Coast Orchid Society. And I realize that sounds fancy. It is. These people are serious.
Orchids are fancy.
They're really, really good.
Too,
but I'm telling you this now because we're going to talk to her next week. But I want you to see. There's a couple of pictures that you're going to see, including the flyer for it. It's January 31st, February 1st and 2nd at Goche at the Convention Center. And we have a few pictures. I'm not going to share all of them with you this week because we're going to talk with someone from there next week. But I'm telling you, if you want to make a trip, I certainly do. I'm ready to leave here after the show that day and take off. But then I have to see how my potatoes are doing. Anyway, we will be back after a few minutes. Please stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
And the cigarette you're smoking about to scare me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. She said, that ain't the way to have fun, son. That ain't the way to have fun, son, son, son.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Hey, this is Bob.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal. On Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Pandurate is the word of the day. What in the world does that mean? It doesn't mean hitting somebody in the head with a frying pan, I promise.
It's a verb.
Well, it's a descriptive, it's probably more like an adjective, but it could be used in several ways. I could probably, If I was changing the form of a statue, I could pandurate it by making it more curvaceous. It's fiddle-shaped. Fiddle leaf fig is not called the pandurate fig, but we might want to change that. I don't know. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. Today, however, dear friends, ah, yes, it is, in fact, National Gourmet Coffee Day. So if you need a good excuse, I'm just giving it to you. These are a gift from our colleague Peaches. He has sent these to you, Lance. This is Mardi Gras King Cake Coffee Pods. Oh.
Decadence.
You're headed.
Thank you. You reminded me I have to get coffee.
See?
As I ride up to
you
the
have
cabin.
Them
That's
right.
The one thing I had. I knew there was something I was going to forget. I'd wake up in the morning,
you'd
get
be
ready
really
to go.
Sorry
go,
about
what?
That. Yeah.
No coffee.
That's terrible. You would be sad about that.
Thank you. That I mean.
Some good questions about vegetables today, and I'm happy to tell you that I know most of these answers. One is open-ended, one is very specific, and one is kind of this or that. First question, how tall should the potatoes get in the container before you start adding more soil mix around them? We're talking about planting potatoes so that they grow up and you're able to fill in the space. You grow them in a container of some sort. You could grow them in a trench if we could dig trenches that way, but it's very difficult to do that in this part of the world. So we usually grow them above ground in the home garden. That the good answer to that is as soon as you want to. But I would like to see them get at least two sets of leaves, which is probably going to be about 4 to 5 inches tall, then fill in so that you got just the leaves standing above the surface. I think that will be the best way for that to happen. And in fact, each time they put on another set of leaves, you can add a little bit more to it. And if you will keep that mix next to where the potatoes are growing, it's easy to do. Perhaps some leaf mold if you have that, some compost, some soil that you've got from another garden bed, just any of your organic matters together. And yes, you do need to fertilize potatoes to grow them properly. That brings me to another question that is in the text line today. I really like this. Growing carrots in grow bags. Now, you know, y'all know what those are. They're black, they're really handy, and they do grow beautifully because you can make them as deep or as shallow as you need them for that particular plant. She says that these are, they never got past the skinny stage, and the one she planted in the fall, so when can she plant again? The answer is very, very soon. And I would, in fact, prepare the soil now. There's two reasons why carrots fail on us. There's probably others. If you didn't ever water it or you had a variety that was intended to be 3 feet long, you're probably not going to get that in our soils. But the two biggest problems are our failure to thin them, because each carrot does need 2 square inches, you know, 2 inches all the way around, okay, 2 cubic inches of space to grow in, to grow the best in. And you also need to fertilize them more often than you fertilize pansies, but not with a high nitrogen fertilizer, with something with low nitrogen and something that's going to really nourish those carrots. Next question is, what do I think about rutabagas? I feel like this is just that softball that comes lobbing over at me. I don't like rutabagas. But that being said, I've had rutabaga chips. They were okay. I've had, you know, but rutabaga as a thing on its own is a really large root crop. And if you can grow them, there is a big market for them because they have a deeper, almost darker taste than turnips in the way they're described and in the way that I experience them. It's a wonderful vehicle for, you can stuff them, you can make them into soup. Speaking of your potato soups, a lot of people do put rutabagas in those, Lance. So that's another possibility. But the rutabagas themselves are really long season and not so easy to grow because we need that really well-drained soil.
You know what they're also known as? I'm sure you've heard of this. I did not know that a rutabaga was also known as a Swedish turnip.
I knew they were somebody's turnip. Yeah. Yes, I didn't know whose.
You know, when you think of a name like rutabaga, it does not sound very delicious. They could have come up with a better name.
They could have
name.
Called it Swedish turnips, and
yes,
we probably would have thought that was pretty.
Crushing a Swedish turnip on a regular basis.
We would have thought that was nice. You're absolutely right. Good questions today, y'all. Thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. In addition to being National Gourmet Coffee Day, it is Thesaurus Day. So if you need another word for something, get yourself a thesaurus. That's one of those forms of word collections. If you For example, if you get articulate enough in a language that is not your native language to need a thesaurus, you won.
If you thought a thesaurus was that long-necked dinosaur.
I believe it was. I don't know if they were carnivorous, however. Yeah. I'm not really
plant
sure.
Plant eaters, I think.
Yeah. Pretty sure those are plant eaters. Let's see. Use tires and do the potatoes. That's absolutely true. You literally start them, and I've seen this done where you start with the one tire, plant inside the tire, then the potatoes grow. You put the other tire on top, and they keep growing. It's a really, really very clever way to do that. And then you push the tires over in the same way that you would undo the wire fencing that I had talked about.
And yeah, if you're looking for used tires, I know a couple of places in the metro where you can go find plenty of them.
Where there are too many of them.
They're right there waiting for you.
Where there are too many of them. You're absolutely right. If I purchase soil from a garden center, what is best for elevated potato containers? Well, that's an interesting question. You're asking for their outdoor soil mix. In other words, you don't want potting soil by itself, and you don't want topsoil by itself or any of the other names that you may see. What you're looking for is their growing mix, their bed mix. For example, if they were going to plant a flower bed in front of somebody's house and they're bringing in soil that they've mixed, because it's going to be a couple of different organic matters and probably some leaf mold, probably some bark, that kind of stuff. So I think that's absolutely a really, really good question. I'm always in favor of more kinds of organic matter than less, because we get different size particles and we get different drainage opportunities, and we also get some different minerals from them. So I think that's all very, very positive. So this is really good questions. I'm not going to move anything that's tropical right now. I'm not going to dig anything up, but you can certainly dig up shrubs and trees, even perennials, if it's not too cold where you are. This is a fine time to do all of that. You know, there's some other stuff on my mind today, and probably on yours too. We've got some interesting projects that people don't think about doing necessarily, but I wish that we would. I'm a big fan of bamboo. I like it whether we're going to use it. There's so many things we can do with bamboo in the garden, making the teepees to grow beans up, but you can also make fishing poles out of it. You can certainly do wattling with bamboo bases, where you take other things and weave in between them to make low fencing or even tall fencing and that sort of stuff. So I have real great ideas about this particular abundant resource of ours. One of the things that you need to understand is that you got to cure the bamboo. And when we cure it, basically all we're doing is keeping it so that it can dry on its own outside of the weather and not touching another bamboo pole. So what do you do? Well, you can either get you can get like sawhorses, or you can get concrete blocks. But however you want to do that, the drying process is going to take several weeks. So if you've been cutting bamboo down, a lot of people do that in the wintertime, go ahead and set it aside so that it can cure, and you will have something that will really help you to use a little bit better in the future. One of the teepees that go up on three bamboo stakes can last for much longer than you imagine if you've cured those stakes. And I realize that if you don't, they're likely to pull the beans over, and the beans will pull them over, or the cypress vine will, if you're not taking good care of them.
And you can make some good cane poles too.
You absolutely can. You can fish with them. And frankly, it's a wonder. I'm not going to tell you should learn to do fencing in the classic foil sense, but you can certainly make a couple of nice weapons out of them. Nice. If you need them.
We have a phone call of Billy in Choctaw County, if you have time to.
Sure.
And he had some comments about potatoes and
wonderful
and sawdust from they'd go looking back in the day and use that. Billy, you're on there now.
Welcome in, Billy.
Well, thank you kindly. I listen to your program all the time, and also Super Talk. I get up and listen to it. But here's one I wanted to tell you. I didn't want nobody getting mad at me. After you start putting the tires on and you get excited, and it just keeps going on, because back when I was a youngster, you couldn't go 5 miles without finding a sawdust pile out in the country.
Uh-huh.
And we would go play on the sawdust files and then bring the sawdust back and put it in the backyard. And my mama, she would be in charge of, you know, putting the sawdust around them. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. me and my brother, we'd have to tie the tires together. If you don't tie the tires together, when they get up so tall, they'll fall over by themselves.
You're absolutely right.
Me and my brother and my mother aren't watching. They'll end up, when you go out to check on them, and they done got, you know, started to rot or dry out. But you need to tie them together if you're going to be ambitious and let them go, mm-hmm. you know, up, and it'll work fine. But you got to keep tying them up.
Well, and I've seen that done.
That was
with,
about it for me.
And thank you.
And it's a win-win situation, because these people that got tires, you can even get some money out of it to take up off the tires for them. You know?
I like it. And, I like it.
I thank you for letting me be on.
Sure. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate you calling. I really look forward to hearing more about that. Now, when I have seen potatoes grown in tires, and I've actually also seen them grown in other sorts of things that you stack up on top of each other, you do have to anchor them. And one of the ways to do that is the same way that you, if, for instance, if you were going to grow a vegetable, tomatoes, Brussels sprouts, people grow all sorts of stuff in 30-gallon garbage cans. Well, the problem is the same. Things get tall, they fall over. So if you put a piece of rebar on either side of that tire structure or either side of that those cans, whatever you're stacking up, then you have something to anchor them to. And it is one of the best uses of bungee cord that you'll ever see, is to haul those things in onto their structure. Makes a lot of sense, and it works really, really well. Let's see. I don't transplant potatoes at all. I think once they're where they're going, I know people will, for instance, if you look in your pantry right now and you've got some potatoes with sprouts on them, people will stick them into a container and then plant that outside in a few weeks. So yeah, you can do that. But once they're up and growing, I don't want to mess with them. Well, now that's really true. That's absolutely true. Dry straight fishing poles. Ray has a great method for that. When they were kids, they would take the bamboo stock, drill a hole in it, and tie a piece so that you can hang them. And then that lets them,
my papaw
that lets them dry
my
straight.
Dad, we mm-hmm. have a big tuft that grows probably 15 mm-hmm. feet, maybe, mm-hmm. and then they'll start dying. But you know, the inner new green ones, we've made a few poles out of those. It was mm-hmm. Papaw's mm-hmm. His dad's methodology, and you put a little hole, or either get a little slip knot at the end,
see,
and
another hang it. Bungee cord.
Yeah, just hang it from a rafter and let them sit there and dry.
Well, my dad did them in the carport.
Yeah, and if you didn't do it right, it would just fall apart.
The whole thing would come undone.
Just come undone. Yeah,
that's right.
So there is a trick to it.
But I have to tell you that I'm a big fan of open sheds. Particularly if you're doing a whole bunch of bamboo open sheds and laying them out on things like sawhorses, just makes a tremendous amount of sense. They're just they dry beautifully, and they're really easy to deal with.
And then you could have a whole, as they say, a whole slew or a whole mess of crappie to clean.
Oh, now come on, yeah. Let's go.
You're ready to roll.
You
fry
got it.
Up.
Yep, let's go. That's wonderful. So much fun. You know, some of the things that we do in the garden really are reflective of the rest of our life, and some of them are not. Some of the things that we like to do are to go out and really specifically get in there and pull weeds. There was a wonderful editorial, well, op-ed, I don't even know what it was, but it was a piece written from a famous writer's point of view about pulling weeds and how she would work all week and, you know, publish these in those years, 800-word columns in a newspaper were the goal of most of us who wrote for a living. And she'd been doing that for a long time, so I really paid attention to what else she said. And she never mentioned the term work-life balance. That was not a thing then. But she did talk about the absolute power of going out to pull weeds, that when you went out and pulled weeds in your garden, nothing argued with you. Nothing fought with you. If it did, you got a slightly larger tool and dug it right out of the ground and got it out of your way. And those are the kind of things that I think all of us need, are positive experiences. Life can be tough. Even when it's wonderful, there's a lot to deal with. And certainly on a week like this where we're trying to figure out, is the cat indoors? You know, do the dogs have enough food? Is the back porch going to freeze? All these kind of things. We do have a lot of things on our mind. And just to go out, Maybe it's pulling weeds. Maybe it's raking some of that pine straw. Maybe it's getting ready to plant potatoes. Doing something that involves your hands and your head and your heart as opposed to your head first probably does help us a lot in the way that we react to things. I am a very big fan of Sansevieria plants. These are the ones called either mother-in-law's tongue or snake plant, depending on your point of view. As a mother-in-law, I'm very fond of these plants, but I was even before I was a mother-in-law, but now I collect them. And I want to tell you that the growers in our country have some of the craziest Sansevierias, mother-in-law's tongue, snake plants. What we're talking about, of course, are stiff-leaved plants that I'm going to do some better pictures of mine because I want to show them off a little bit. But I have a big container that I've had since 2000 that was already grown when it was given to me. And then I have all these other ones that have come along over the years, and they are just beautiful. The patterns in their leaves, each one is a little bit different than the other. Some of them will get an edge on them that's gold. Some of them will get an edge on them that's kind of tan. But they all have the capacity, if you let them get old enough and you fertilize them every now and then, we tend to put these plants in the corner and ignore them, you know. But if you will take care of them, you'll get some beautiful flowers at this time of the year. There's one of mine that's in bloom now, and it's just a real sweet addition to the winter garden indoors. It's fun stuff. You know, sometimes it's dangerous I said, you just play something that you like, okay, in the music.
A little Cuban right here.
So we're now going to literally dance our way. Do y'all know who Sonya Henie is? Did you know that you can skate dance to Cuban music? It was astounding. Sometimes you wander into the old weird movies and you say to yourself, I can't believe somebody choreographed that. First they had to think of it. Oh, my goodness. Let's listen to this. We'll be right back.
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone, propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
It's better than one win.
I've been thinking about these soil mixes, and what am I talking about when I say different organic matters? That might not be clear to everybody. So let me run through this for you just because it's real important for us to know what it is that we're mixing together to throw into what, okay? Now, first of all, the reason that I talked about not using but an inch of that burn pile because it had potash in it, it had ashes, is because we don't want to change the pH around our plants too dramatically. For example, if you're growing blueberries and camellias and hollies, gardenias, none of those can tolerate a soil that is not acid. And if you put on the ashes, you may end up with a soil that's not appropriate for them. On the other hand, most of our vegetables would prefer to be grown closer to a neutral pH. So, since most of our soils do operate in the acid range naturally a little bit, it's a really good idea to add that ash treatment to the soils for garden beds, the soils for vegetables, and even the soils around trees, as he was talking about his fruit trees. So beyond that, so we've got stuff that you burned and made into a pile. That's a good, that's a good place to start with a good source of potash. Now, the next thing is, of course, the dark soil that's in that, that, that areas that perhaps didn't burn all the way and they composted some, that's excellent to use. I have no problem with that, as long as it has composted far enough down to be able to be grabbed in your hands, and kind of tilth is what we're looking for, something that can be moved about in your hands and will not crumble too quickly and also won't stick together. That's really the quality that we're looking for in our organic matters. Some will be smaller particles, some will be larger, but if they all have a good tilth to them, then when we combine them, they will make a really, really nice opportunity for us to have a good soil. Corinne's in Jackson today. Would it help to cover up the newly emerging tete tape bulbs? If I was going to, let me say how to put this. These are daffodil bulbs that are coming up. And if they're just sprouting, I'm not going to worry about it. If they're up 4 or 5 inches or may even have a bud stem on them, sure, throw a blanket over them for a couple of nights. That won't be a problem at all. But the sprouts themselves, just a couple of inches of leaf is not going to be bothered by it. And let's see. How often should I fertilize my houseplants? What a great question. I feel like there has been, I just really feel like there's been some conversation about this. I've seen a whole bunch of things online. For some reason or another, a couple of experts want you to fertilize everything all the time. I think really it's a matter of how your plants are growing and how often you're watering. You should certainly give them a little fertilizer once a month through the winter. But you may want to do more than that if you're trying to actually grow something. For example, if you're trying to produce a container of flowering bulbs for Valentine's Day, right now you need to start fertilizing those just about every week, if not about every 10 days between now and then, another month to Valentine's. So this is, it really does depend on what you're growing. But for a plant, say in a 8-inch or 10-inch container that's a house plant, tropical plant that we bring indoors, once a month is plenty. I do put a little bit of slow-release fertilizer into that soil, and or either on top if that's the best way to handle it, but I do still want to add a little bit of fertilizer to them. I do not water very often in the winter. I water when the soil feels dry to the touch, or in the case of my peace lilies, when they just start to sag a little bit. They don't wilt. I don't let them do that. But when they begin to just give up a little bit, I'll put water in the base of the plant so that it can take it up. And that does not have fertilizer in it any more than once a month. I hope that helps. All right. Now, the next thing on my mind really is some more planning for the spring. As you're starting to order seeds, you're starting to decide on what you're going to grow, please go ahead and order them, but don't jump right to tomatoes. If you want to grow tomato plants, you're going to have to start pretty soon. But you also need to realize that there's weeks and weeks of things like Swiss chard and beets and, yes, carrots that can all get started again at the same time in February. We're going to be talking a lot about pruning roses, and obviously there's still going to be more conversation about potatoes. But at this time, I want you to also be thinking about those leafy greens. If you will just make cloches for even a couple of containers that can be covered up in case of inclement weather, or it, for example, if it's going to rain a whole lot and you wanted to protect them from that, you might protect them from that kind of inclement weather too. So give yourself the opportunity to build a couple of cloches, or maybe you just want to put hats on yours like mine. My parsley hats work just great. Thank you. After we get through this cold spell, there's going to be a lot to do. If I have one thing today that I don't want to have to wait until after the cold spell to do, it is to cut down my ornamental grasses. I can tell you that I'm not going to get to it today. I have frieze curtains that I need to hang up in another part of my house and a few other things to do, so I won't be doing that. But January is the time to prune those ornamental grasses, and I don't want you to forget to do that. I was looking at mine yesterday, and I think I only ever go in the back of your plants and look at them, is what I'm trying to say. When I look at my ornamental grass in the front garden, it looks lovely. But if I look at it from the window in my house, it's obvious that there's new plants at the bottom that are trying to bloom that are really too small for the space. The whole thing is too crowded, and I'm going to have to do something about it. I think it's going to involve digging up a big chunk of it and dividing it, which I really have done about every third year. And it's not because I overgrow it or over-fertilize it. It's because the plants are that vigorous. You may or may not keep up with the camellias that are blooming in your neighborhood, but I hope that you pay a little bit of attention to them. This week has been Professor Sargent, which is one of the other classic oldies. We talk about the things like Pink Perfection and I don't know, Betty Sheffield, I think is her name, but some of those ancient varieties that are just still beautiful, wonderful performers, but there are a whole lot of others. If you're interested in more modern varieties of camellias, I suggest that you get yourself over to Mizell's Camellia Hill Nursery, either online or in person. They've got big events coming up at the end of this month. Then you'll be able to enjoy that as well and shop for some plants. But you'll be able to see so many in bloom. It's just beautiful, beautiful time of year. Let's see. Should I cover my container strawberry plants? One of them is in a tower. Well, yeah, I might throw something over the tower just to keep. You don't want the leaves to freeze and get set back. It's like so many other things. You don't want your citrus to get set back if you grow that outdoors, even if it's in a container. So you probably can go ahead and cover that up. The problem with covering plants, of course, is that then we forget to uncover them. And if I cover up my parsley or I cover up one of my other herbs, celery and stuff, and don't take the cover off the first time it heats up, it's a problem. But the days that the temperatures are going to be below freezing, at least in their wind chill, if not in their reality, yes, you can leave them covered up for that time. Good question. Why do birds make so many different sounds? You may be accustomed to the birds in your back garden, but you may not know what all that noise is about. I have a couple of things going on. There's babies happening, hawks and whatnot. I'm worried about them with the weather, but I'm sure their parents know better than me. But researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have really done that tremendous effort of gathering up everybody else's research. They have been looking at the factors that influence bird sounds using more than 100,000 audio recordings from around the world. I can't imagine how long that takes to even go through, but they've been studying them for a couple of years. The things that they analyzed represent more than 3/4 of the known bird species on the earth today. All of this is in the Proceedings of the Royal Society B, if you feel like you need to look up some more about it. But their noises, and also, again, I thought about this because of the frequency question earlier, their frequencies are also being measured. Role of habitat and geography, the beak shape, the body size, the age of the bird, all those kind of things have been tested in various places. And so putting all of this together, they've come up with 4 main takeaways. Perhaps the most interesting one, well, I don't know if it's the most interesting one, but I found it to be very, very anthropomorphic, very human type. Birds living at the same latitude make similar sounds. Well, they have the same accent, just like we do in the South. They may or may not be, you know, country mouse, city mouse kind of differences, but they have a difference in the way that those birds sound. The beak shape, of course, and their body mass, that is to say how big or how old they are very, very important. In the higher frequency sounds come from smaller birds, usually, not all the time, but usually. It added new information about the nature of the relationship between the beak sound, the beak and its sound. So that's kind of interesting. Littler birds have a wider range of frequencies. When you think of smaller birds or you know, making lots of noises and whatnot, it's true. They are making more noises. I think about the mourning doves in the back of my garden. They're fairly quiet compared to some of the little chicks, and they really get after it. Those thrashers will make a lot of noise, and they are smaller. Sometimes lower frequencies serve as camouflage. if you're able to project a louder voice or a deeper voice, it may give something that's trying to prey on you the sense that you're bigger than you actually are. And as we all know, you know, birds are capable of doing that. But maybe the influence on habitat is the most interesting because of the unexpected ways. A lot of rushing water produces a great deal of white noise, and that is at a lower frequency. So they found that in those circumstances, birds tend to make higher frequency sounds, probably so they can be heard over the sounds around them. Whether they're looking for a mate, looking for a food source, warning others about a predator, or frankly just singing with the joy of the day, all of these factors affect your birds, and it's fascinating to me. I love hearing about that. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I would put the ends of this spiderwort in water, clip them off, and then, Andrea, I would take that container and I'd put it into some warm water with fertilizer in it one time. Dunk it in, let it stay a few minutes, take it out, and let's see if we can get it to resprout. But, yes, I would root the tail ends of this. This is where we've got a vine coming out of a container, and it has 2 feet of a really empty stem with just a little bit of dead leaves on it, and then some pretty ones at the tip. Well, those will all root, but it's also possible that if you cut back the others to just a few inches long, give them some water and fertilizer, you may find that that root mass is able to sprout some more. And why not? Give it a chance. I wouldn't give up on it. I wouldn't give up on it. We're giving auto cleaning tips and some more music notes. I'm going to leave all of that to you, Lance. I think that's your conversation.
Is it auto cleaning tips?
Yeah.
Somebody's seen my vehicle, huh?
I think they've had a look. Yes. I think.
Too bad. So sad. Not going to get washed.
Who cares? Yeah. Who cares? No. Anyway, I think the idea is if you can't see out the windshield, then that would be a different thing.
That is what I make sure I can do. The rest, who knows?
I had an interesting question about the artificial light, supplemental light, whatever you want to call it. I said, I remember you saying something about a shop light fixture, and I just inherited one. That's great. I love getting texts from y'all. You're fun. But at any rate, yes, that's true. One daylight, which is a pink bulb, and one cool white. And together they make the full spectrum, and you will have the better growing environment than you can imagine. It's surprising how easy it is to do that. We don't think about 4-foot-long shop lights so much anymore, and we've got a lot of other, you know, light sources that maybe are prettier or fancier or whatever the reference would be to it, better looking in the context of the rest of your furniture. But I'd be very happy to have a 4-foot fixture to start my seedlings under instead of the one that I have, which is a little bit less exciting. But there's some good bulbs out there, so you go ahead and get yourself a whole bunch of them. Oh, by the way, if you are growing Lenten roses, and congratulations if you are, they're still in bloom, but they're beginning to fade a little bit because we're getting through the winter. They may last until actual Lent. Just depends on what year it is. But once the flowers fade, it's a fine time to dig them up and divide them if you have to. Do not be too quick to do that. Lenten roses are notoriously slow-growing, and they do not react well to being transplanted. It's kind of like peonies. We always hear people tell us, oh, the peonies are so lovely. I want to make more of them. I dug them up, and I killed them. Well, that truly does happen. They don't like to be disturbed once they're in place. So take a word. If you need to do it, do it. If you don't, give yourself a little bit of time, and take on another task first. Now, you know what? I can't believe it, but we've already got to take another break. We'll be right back.
It's been a long, long time since I had you on my mind. Now you are here, it's so very clear. There's so much we could do, just me and you. Oh,
know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. A lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they're not online. With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every...
We've sent that rib...
A good question from Mike today. Can I put fish in my fertilizer? I would think that it depends on the fish. If the fish is not living and not cooked, yeah, probably so. It would be, you would be well served to compost it a little bit, add it in with some other materials into that situation. I would also, if I was doing this on a big scale, you know, they, you always see the pictures, which we don't necessarily believe anymore, of Native Americans planting the fish and then planting the corn. That's not actually how it happened exactly, but the point is that, yes, there's plenty of things in the fish that can survive. That's why we end up making fertilizer out of fish that are not alive and not cooked. So those are the two caveats. Okay. Let's see. From Monticello, do you follow the Farmer's Almanac when planting? I can't say that I'm a, I can say that I know about it. I have written about it. I've certainly had a few friends that were committed to that way of gardening, and I'm not going to argue with that. I'm usually a little bit too much in a hurry to think about it myself, but for example, the best example that I can give you of doing chores in the garden by the moon is that in August, in the dark of the moon, if you dig a hole to plant something, it will never fill back up with water. It's that waning business. And I'm explaining this very badly, but I have actually seen that. I've watched some research done into it, and there are people who work on those subjects. So I'm not going to discount it. But I will tell you that because the lunar cycles go like they go, and because our weather cycles go like they go, I can't always tell you that I am planting above ground crops in the wane, in the wax, and below ground crops in the wane of the moon. I honestly can't say that I do that. Okay, I hope that helps. By all means, if you do, send me your diary, and I'll share it with people. I don't know enough about it to tell you when. But I'd be happy to share that with folks. By the way, all those reasons those songbirds make noise, birds make noises, the songbirds, at least that particular group of them, actually socialize on the wing during migration, and some of that involves noise too. So, in this wild, University of Illinois College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences, more than 18,000 hours of recorded flight calls suggests that songbirds are chit-chatting as they go in the sky. Well, why not? Come on. That's not anthropomorphizing them. That's just saying they got to communicate with each other, and certainly probably got to figure out who's been on this road before, and this particular flight pattern needs more attention than the one that the other folks took, you know, the other birds. I mean, there's all kinds of information they would want to share with each other, I'm sure. And I don't doubt that they can do that. It's kind of like lunar gardening. I don't do it myself, but I don't doubt it.
I know that the ducks are smart because they can go, meh, 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 and they'll tell the other ducks that you're down there.
Mm-hmm. Of course they do.
So, I mean, they'll
call the whistle on you every time.
they'll tattletale on you.
They absolutely will.
You're out in the woods when it's really still and quiet, and you're just sitting there being as still as you can, and then you move, and then all of a sudden you start hearing birds.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling everything in the
sure.
woods. He's right
sure.
over there.
Sure, you have no secrets there.
Exactly.
One of the best things in the world about being in a duck blind with a camera, which is frankly the only way I've been in a duck blind, not that I know how to use I'm not a duck hunter, but I am a photographer, and one of the best things in the world about that is realizing how quickly the birds know that there's somebody there that's not going to shoot them.
Yeah, they know what a gun looks like.
It's really interesting to me, and it remains one of the pieces of my outdoor lore that they were not even bothered about. They stood 3 feet away from me and let me take pictures at that point. But when the people came through with the other approach, they're gone. They're just gone.
It is amazing. Nature is very
just
intuitive.
Smart, smart, smart. Smart, smart, smart. Thank you very much. I just got a newsletter subscription renewal and a new subscription for another friend. Remember, this is this month. We got 2 more weeks going here. When if you renew your subscription or purchase a subscription and purchase one as a gift for somebody, you get a little bit of a bonus. Rather than $60 for the year, it'll be $50. If you buy two, it's $100. And that's really quite a deal. I write every week for this. This is not, and Lance has to make video clips, and my team has to put the design together, and it's not simple.
I will say this is very partial, I get to do this every Saturday, and of course I want to promote shamelessly what you do, but on the other side of that, it is an excellent product. So,
thank
I mean, you,
you
know, I'm very partial, but at the same time, I think that it's something that everyone would find a great deal of value in, and it's not expensive. I mean,
thank you.
You know,
really, and it does keep you kind of in tune with the Southern Garden business, you know, the whole Zone 8, 7, 9, 7 through 9 where we live. And it's a tipper here and there, a picture of a plant you might want to go look for, and some ideas about some stuff that you might not have thought of.
And remember, the more of you who join, the more that she can do.
That's true.
The harder we can work
that's
the
right.
garden, Mama.
That's right.
And she's willing.
I'm absolutely willing. Absolutely willing. Oh, I got another word for you. Chefna protein. See, all those proteins have such great names.
It's like Chef Boyardee?
It sounds sort of like it, but it's with an S. Chefna protein 2 protects the nitrogen-fixing enzyme nitrogenate, from damage. In other words, we love the fact that our beans and peas, and to a certain extent other crops, can fix nitrogen from the air. So they need less fertilizer input from us. That makes them more reasonable to grow, and we don't have to remember so many things because the sunlight's going to do the job for us. And in this particular case, we now understand from the University of Freiburg how they protect that nitrogen-binding enzyme. It's like a little sheath. It's a coat that goes over them. And indeed, if we can increase that, their goal, of course, is to reduce the amount of commercial fertilizers that have to be inputted, both because it will produce a better plant, a better crop, but frankly, because it would be cheaper in the long run than to have to continue to buy fertilizer. So it's interesting stuff. There's always a reason. I don't mean to put before you the notion that everything comes down to profit. It certainly does not. Many people breed plants and many people search for things like proteins, you know, because they're fascinated by it. But you're more likely to get attention to it, and you're more likely to be able to continue with that if it has some practical application in the world. For example, amphiphiles were invented as a thing. They're in the modern diapers to prevent chafing. If you were a child and remember it, or if you had a child and had to deal with diaper rash, you know that it is not a fun situation at all. So these amphiphiles have been developed for this. Well, they're molecules just like so many, you know, it's another molecule we got to figure out. Is it going to decompose in the ocean? Is it going to be a problem? All these kind of things. Well, as they've worked on this and made them better and better and better, North Carolina State University has now demonstrated, they're not in the market yet, but they've demonstrated new wearable technologies that generate electricity when you move, and when you move, it actually gets more comfortable to wear. I'm telling you, the first time somebody sent me a shirt impregnated with insecticide, I thought I was going to die because it was so hot inside the clothes. And now those have evolved. This is another thing that's evolving. We'll be able to go out and garden and charge our cell phones all at the same time so that you can listen to me on the SuperTalk app. How about that? Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your wonderful attention today. Keep on subscribing. It means the world to me. Thank you, Lance. Thanks to the family in there. And now we'll be back next week.
The Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show. You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
We are advocacy, a century of wins. Protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.